The book of Nehemiah, and why I'm doing it early is because you're going to have to find the book of Nehemiah. Y'all be praying for this morning. I'm trying to take two or three days off of caffeine, so prayer and supplication. Amen. Book of Nehemiah, if the Lord will allow, we're going to be in a series of about 10 messages. I've not decided yet whether they'll all be on Sunday or they'll be Sunday, Wednesday, and Sunday nights. If they are Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and you can't make it out to the house of God, just go back. We do have a website for you to go and listen to these messages. This is going to be on leadership. It's going to be on ministry building. It's going to be on... Can I just tell you really what it's going to be about? You getting anguished and broken over somebody else's condition and willing to do something about it. I wrestled with God about this message all last night and this morning. I knew Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday I was going to start this series, and I was all excited about it because God just poured it out to me. But then I started looking at it, and it's really not exciting. And it's not going to be a... Like, you're not going to walk out of here today, I don't think, with goosebumps on your arms and maybe shouting, but maybe you'll leave here and understand that without anguish and without brokenness, there is really no ministry. Now, you know, there'll be some ministry, but I'm talking about effective ministry. The first time I ever heard this message or anything close to it was a man by the name of David Wilkerson. I don't know if you know who David Wilkerson is, but one of the things that he's known for is he started a Christian drug and alcohol recovery mission called Teen Challenge. He also done a series of messages that are heard around the world. He's one of the greatest preachers. He passed away about maybe 5 years ago. But I don't know if you know about this, but he said everything that he had ever done in ministry for over 50 years that was worth anything was birthed out of anguish or brokenness. Teen Challenge was burst when he was walking down the roads of, walking down the streets of New York City, seeing people that were broken over their addiction and in their circumstances. And God laid such a heaviness on him that he walked into an abandoned building and laid down and prayed for hours about the situation. That's where Teen Challenge's headquarters are today. I hope you understand. I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen? The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Y'all there? I hear pages turning. All right, good. That Hanani and one of my brethren came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open up hearts and minds to the Word of God. Change us. We came here to worship You, and we've done that. Now we've come to hear from heaven, hear for the Word of God. Mold us and make us. And Lord, at the end of this service, we'll turn You loose in Your altar service, and You do business with Your children. Lord, and we'll go out into a lost and dying world and hopefully have a burden for lost people. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah was in a tough place. I want to preach to you. I hope I get all the information out today. But there is no perfect place for ministry. There's no perfect time to start ministry. There's no perfect situation. I'm too old, I'm too young, and I'm too in between that. I'm not healthy. Well, guess what? Most people aren't. I'm not in the place in life that I want to be financially. Welcome to the party. All these are great excuses, but guess what? They're none. None are accepted. Nehemiah was in a place where he was a servant. He was taken into captivity, and he had it bad. But then there were some people that had it worse than him. I hate to tell you this, but there are some people that have it worse than you. And you say, you don't know my situation. Yeah, but I'm looking at you this morning, and you're not hungry and destitute. You got nice clothes, and you smell pretty good. So there's somebody that's got it worse than you. If you took the time, you'd find it. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Nehemiah, the people came back from seeing a bad situation. And when they came upon him, he looked at them. You know what he could have done? He could have kept his mouth shut. But it says in that verse, he said, I asked. Sometimes God will get you in a ministry just because you ask too many questions. Because you're inquiring. You want to know. What's going on? What's up with those people? What's up with that situation? And the more questions you ask, the more you're going to find out that God needs more people in the work, in the field. He needs more people in the work of His kingdom.
Amen.
He's not got too many workers. I hear people all the time, what could I do? What could somebody like me do for Jesus? I'll tell you this, there's not a lack of work to do. There's a lack of people to do the work. He's looking for you. The fields are white for harvest. I've said that a million times since I've been here. Guess what? God will put you in fields that you might not see the next worker to your right or left, but doesn't mean that you don't stop working. You just keep working. Amen? I don't have to see everybody working in the field. If God's put me in the work, I do the work. So don't be afraid to ask the question. Where are the homeless people? Where are the drug addicted? Where are the lost people? Where are the situation? Where? How bad is it? You went down to Jerusalem. You went down to my people. You went down there where we came from. Tell me, how bad is it? I believe sometimes we don't want to know how bad it is because we want to stick and stay in our situation and worry about our own comfort and our own well-being.
Amen.
This message is not fun to preach or to hear. I know. But it's real. I want to have a great church. I want to have a powerful church. I want to have many people here. But I don't want to have many people here, then we let the rest of the world die and go to hell. That's not what I want. That's not my heart. I don't want to say we got 200, we got 300, we got 400. I want to say we get people because broken people go into a broken world and tell them about Jesus, and they come here to worship after they've already been ministered to by the people who went out and reached them. My heart's heavy for broken and lost people. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. There's somebody in a worse situation than you are. Find them. You ain't got to give them everything sometimes. Sometimes you just got to know that somebody cares. It's amazing how sometimes you think, well, I got to do so much. No, sometimes it's just it's a matter of a meal. Some of y'all, we already cook too much. We eat too much. Sometimes it's a matter of a drink of water. And sometimes it's just a patch here or a patch there. Sometimes it's just sitting down with somebody and saying, hey, I've been where you've been. I've sat where you've sat. I've mourned like you've mourned. And I want to mourn with you. I'm doing all right now. I'm full. I'm happy. I'm successful. I'm doing all right, but I can get back down to where you're at because I've been where you're at. I hope our heart, I hope our church is there. I hope that's where we want to be. I hope we don't ever get to a place where we don't worry about broken people. I hope we don't get to a place where we forget that where we were at or where we could be. And I'm going to be honest with you. Next year, next 2 years, next 3 years, we could be in a worse situation, and we'll pray and we'll hope somebody will reach out for us.
Amen.
And it came to pass when I heard these words. That I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God, before the God of heaven. Have you ever just sat down? Wept? Listen to me, what I'm telling you. I'm not talking about an inactive church. I'm not talking about being inactive. I'm not talking about sitting down for years and years and years. I'm talking about, have you ever stopped and thought about somebody else other than yourself? Have you ever sat and considered somebody else other than you? And how bad the situation. We got news, we got social media, we got things bombarding us, and we hear this information, we say, man, say a prayer for me. All right, Lord, touch them. All right, Lord, bless them. Is that the same kind of prayer you want when you're going through your crisis? No. Sometimes we can sit on our mountain and forget that we're so blessed. until we're going through a situation, when we need a healing, when we need a job, when we need somebody to come rescue us, when we're hungry, when we're destitute, when we want somebody just to say, oh, Lord, bless them, help them. All right? Can I show you the steps? Can I show you what it looks like? Can I tell you that it's ugly? No, let's go back. I don't want to rush through this, and let's go back to verse 4. I want you to see it. And he mourned certain days. That's many days, okay? Many days. He mourned. He fasted. God help us, right? That's Old Testament. We don't need to do that. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of fasting anyway? Does it turn you into a super Christian or a superhero? No, you know what it does? Here's what it does. It tells God that you're serious. I'm going to take this meal and I'm going to push it aside and I'm not going to feed my physical flesh. I'm going to feed my spiritual man. I'm going to say, God, for one meal, for two meals, for three meals, this food's not important. My body's not important. My relationship to you is important. Somebody said, what do you do during that time that you're not eating? Pray. Pray for strength to make it through. But during that time, say, God, I'm foregoing this because I want you to know that the need that I have is serious. I've heard about some people that are in worse situations than I am, and I don't know what to do. And God, I'm serious about it, but I'm going to need answers from heaven. God, nobody ever preaches this. I don't know what to do. So I'm coming. I'm bombarding heaven to know what to do. Listen, I don't have all the answers. And if you come to me and say, Kevin, what part of ministry do you want me to be in? I don't know. If you're broken about it and you're sincere about it, get before heaven about it, and I guarantee you God will point you in the right direction and you'll be doing it before you know it. Because you'll walk into a situation or a place or a ministry or even one of these places in this church and you'll find a ministry that will last the rest of your life. Period. The rest of your life. And 10 years into it, you'll look around and say, man, God, when am I going to get started in that ministry? And somebody will say, you've been in it for 10 years. Don't be afraid to fast. Don't be afraid to fast and not tell anybody else about it. Amen? Because that's between you and God. You're doing it to get serious with God, not to get the praise of people. If you do anything for the praise of people, you'll get the praise of people, and that's about where it goes. And he prayed before the God of heaven. Listen, are you trying to please people or are you trying to please God? Are you trying to get a hold of God or are you trying to get a hold of people? I don't really care. I love people and I want to minister to people, but I want my life at the end of this thing where I stand before God and he said, I was pleased with what you've done. Not pleased with your whole life, because I know God ain't going to be pleased with my whole life, but I hope he can be pleased with my service. Amen? I don't want to get in by the skin of my teeth. I want to get in because I believed in Jesus Christ and I served Him with everything I had left of my life. So should you. Verse 5, here's the recipe. Do you want it? Do you really want the recipe? Do you really want to be somebody who serves other people? Do you want to be in full-time ministry? Verse 5, and said, I beseech Thee, O Lord God of heaven. You're going to see this repeated in this scripture so many times. He turns into a beggar. Beggars aren't cool. Amen? Beggars ain't cool. If you ever beg for anything, it ain't cool. He beseeched God 3 or 4 times in this chapter. He's begging God for answers. He's begging God for a clear answer to what to do. That's our problem. And he's not doing it after the fact, in the middle of the fact. He's doing it when he's at the beginning of the problem. God, I wish we'd do that as the leadership and the men of this church and the women of this church. When we run into a problem, do we run to God or do we run to everything else before we go to God? I've told everybody about my problem. We ain't told God about the problem. He begged. Oh, God of heaven, I'm a beggar. I have no ground to stand on. You don't have to answer my prayers. I'm not special. You know where you found me. You found me in the slimy pits of life. You brought me up out of my sin. Oh God, will you hear my prayer? Sometimes we don't know how to pray right. We do all the talking and we do all the asking, but we don't let God, who's got all the answers, do any of the answering. Thou great and terrible God. Why does it read like that? I think we forget who God is. I think we forget how powerful and how strong God is. He's awesome God. But He holds every breath you got. He holds your eternity. He holds your future. Amen? He's a sovereign God. He is in control of the universe. And we go to Him like He's our grandmother or our mom or our dad sometimes. I know He's our dad. I know He's our spiritual. But sometimes we go to Him and we don't understand the weight of who God is. Sometimes I don't think we worry about if we make Him mad or not. If we upset Him or not. If our behavior's not right. Amen? Somebody, being holy and being righteous is an old-timey thing. Not to God, it's not. Amen. Trying to live righteous is not, it's not a bad thing to God. I think a modern church today is just, we just want to do it our way and maybe God will get involved in it. I want to do it God's way and I hope we get involved in it. I'm a beggar, God. You're great and terrible. God, I understand how awesome You are. I know how powerful You are. I know how strong You are. I know what You can do. You can do all things. There's nothing too hard for You, God. There's nothing out of Your reach. God, if You have to correct me, if You have to scold me, if You have to mold and make me, God, do that. If You need to break my heart to get me in the right position, if you have to correct me to get me to see the right way, sometimes we think God's correcting us. We get mad at God because He's correcting us. And the best thing about getting corrected, sometimes you get to see things more clearly, don't you? Anybody in here ever got a good whooping and you've seen it clearly? Well, you say, I ain't going to do that again. Amen? That's what God has to do to us sometimes. Thou keepeth covenant and mercy from them that love Him. Do you hear this? He tells God who... Sometimes you got to tell God what He said. Hey God, You're a covenant God, remember? You're a covenant God. That means you got to keep Your promises. You got to keep Your commands. God, hey listen, I love the Scriptures. There's times in the Scriptures where people reminded God of who He is. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a little Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter was vexed with a bunch of devils and Jesus was passing by. And she said, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the Most High, my daughter's got devils in her. And she was a Syrophoenician. I mean, she was a Gentile. And some of the disciples and apostles looked at her and said, hey, you need to be quiet. We need to be quiet. We ain't here for you. We're past it. And Jesus said, hey, let her know that we don't throw the bread to the dogs. We don't throw the bread that go to the children to the dogs. Right? I love this story so much because this is the kind of girl I like. This is the kind of people I like. She says, yeah, but don't the dogs eat from the crumbs of the table? I don't need the whole loaf. Just throw me some crumbs. Amen. Hey, some people do more with crumbs than you'll do with the whole loaf. Amen. Hey, some people do more with a little bitty crumb of Jesus than you'll do with the whole loaf of Him. Amen? She said, we don't do that. And he said, yeah, hey, I like how she went back at it because guess what? He wasn't talking to her, but he was talking. Amen? Tell her, I said, I don't care if you're talking to the apostles or disciples. I don't care if it's a second hand, third hand, fourth hand message. I know Jesus is talking. I know God's talking. And if He's talking, that means He's paying attention to my prayer and I need You to get into my life. Amen? Just the crumbs, just enough. Is there anybody in here desperate for God to work? Sometimes you got to remind them. She was reminding him that, hey, if I cry out to you by faith, you got to do what you do. Amen? He couldn't deny her faith. He can't deny your faith. He can't. If you remind, hey, God, you said if I believe in you and trust in you, then you got to do this by faith. I know who you are. Hey, I love it. I know who you are. You're Jesus. Everybody else might not recognize you, but you remember you made a covenant, and if those that believe in you by faith, that means you got to do something. Woo! When she got home, her daughter was right. Some of y'all got kid problems. Well, have you took it to Jesus? Have you begged Him? Amen? Have you heard His answer? Have you heard His answer? Maybe His answer is I'm doing something bigger. I don't want to preach everything I know, but I want to tell you this. They prayed for Lazarus not to die. He died anyway. Here comes Jesus 4 days later. Amen? He's doing something bigger. He's doing something bigger. You're going to be surprised when you get to heaven. There's going to be some situations that you thought were tragic situations, but God was systematically saving people and changing people's lives without that person passing away, without that person getting sick, without that person having an accident, would have never started somebody else along the path of being saved and changing thousands of people's lives. You don't look at it that way, but God does. God's a bigger God than we are. He makes bigger ripples in the ponds of life than we do. Sometimes we're praying against God. That's why I'd say listen. Sometimes we pray and pray and pray, but we don't ever listen. God likes to give you an answer sometimes, and it ain't the one you want to hear. The biggest thing you got to figure out before you leave this earth is whether you're saved or not. You get that worked out with God. The rest of it, we wrote that blank check. God, you do what you want to the rest of my life. Spend it any way you want to. If you want to let me live up here on Flat Top and do the work up here, if you want me to die in some foreign country on the backside of somewhere being a candle for somebody. Y'all didn't catch that last part, did you? You know there have been Christians in history that have been used for candlelight. Amen. And the Roman emperor, when they would fight in those Colosseums, they didn't have enough lighting to walk down the hallway, so they'd wrap the Christians in a wax paper and light them on fire. A lot of them, while they were burning, would profess the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who were passing by with their last breath. Would that be you? I don't know if it'd be me either, to be honest with you. I hope so. I hope grace would take over and shut the rest of me down and let me preach the gospel as I'm dying. Love, for them that love Him and observe His commandments, Him that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments, do you love Him or are you trying to keep His commandments? And when I say trying to keep the commandments, are you listening to the Holy Spirit of God that resides in you, believer? Because He won't let you steal, kill. He won't let you lie. He won't let you manipulate. He won't let you take your neighbor's wife. He won't let you do a lot of those things. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, He'll tell you not to. Amen. Let not thine ear be attentive to thine and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for thy children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of thy children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest, thou servant Moses. Did you hear what he said? He counted himself in the sinner group. Guys, do we ever take accountability for what we've done in this world? I do. When I sit here and I complain about how bad the world is, I just have to think to myself, I ran 30 years in it and paid my part in it. Amen? So every time I complain about something, there's an old concept. A farmer told me earlier this week this. Everybody's sowing something. I love that when he said it. I wrote it down. Everybody's sowing something. But let me tell you something. 30 years of my life, I sowed into sin and corruption into my flesh. And guess what? I hate to tell you this, but some of those harvests are coming do still in my life. Amen. Everybody plants something. But the thing about planting is when you plant something, you always get more than what you plant. Well, never mind. That's a whole other message. I like how Nehemiah says, God, we've sinned. Sometimes as Christians, people that go to church, we can forget what we've done. We played our part in it. God, I'm a part of the problem. Fix me and fix them. Fix them and fix them. Fix me first, and then let me help fix some of them. Boy, I like that. I love how he looks at it. Verse 8. Remember, he's begging again. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. If you're in a bad situation with God, he probably told you it was coming anyway. So how do you fix it? You can fix every problem with God in one word. Repent. Verse 9 says, but if you turn unto me, that's all repent means. You can't get too far that God can't help you if you'll turn. If you'll turn. I like it puts in there, the if part's on you. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He forgives me. But you've got to say, God, I'm turning. I'm turning from my sin. I want you to write this down. If you don't write it down, try to remember it. God will not, He will not let you continue in sin. He will save you from your sin, but you've got to be willing to turn from it. Fight against it your whole life. I'd like to tell you that I don't ever sin. I'd like to tell you that I don't ever struggle with sin. I've got stuff in my flesh that I've been doing since I was about 7 or 8 years old. Amen? That guess what? God says that stuff is wrong. And I say, yes, God, it is wrong. Forgive me of those sins. And guess what? I've been spending my whole life fighting against those things that my flesh would desire to do. That's salvation. Golly. Could have altar call now and be done. Fighting that man, fighting my flesh man. I fight him daily. But before I got saved, he done whatever he wanted to do. If you've been saved, you've got a war going on the inside of you. You want to be angry. You want to be mad. You want to say hurtful things. You want to have sex outside of marriage. You want to smoke dope. You want to get high. You want to drink alcohol. You want to murmur and complain. You want to tell tales. But there's a war going on here. Amen. And when you want to say the words, you can't say the words because the Holy Spirit is a governor and says, you're not that person anymore. Oh, I might as well go ahead and step all over it while I'm here. And when you do it, oh, I don't, brother. Well, fine. Pray for me, brother. I don't ever mess up. Well, when you do, it breaks your heart more than it breaks anybody else's.
Yes, amen.
It breaks God's heart, but it breaks your heart. You don't have to jump all over everybody. You ain't got to. You know what you do? You get out before God and you say, God, forgive me. Forgive me my sins and my trespasses. God, heal me. Just wash me clean. You know how long it usually takes? About 30 minutes, hour, after you do it. Never mind. How do you know you got something going on between you and God? Because you can't enjoy God. You can't enjoy the relationship like you used to. Because you got something between you and them. You and God, and He knows about it. But it's amazing. When you repent, when you turn from stuff, you know what God does? He turns you right back on. He don't hold the grudge. He casts it from the east as far as the west. He goes into the deepest parts of the sea with your sin, and He forgets it. And you're walking around like, man, I should have done that 30 minutes ago, a day ago, a month ago, a year ago. I should have got rid of that a long time ago.
Amen.
You just got to turn. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost parts of heaven, you will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Does anybody want to come back home to God? Is anybody tired of running? Is there anybody tired of doing it your way? Maybe you're lost and you're doing it your way. Maybe you've run too far from God. Maybe you're saved, but you've let sin creep back in. It's a real simple process. The minute you say, God, I turn from that wicked sin, you know what God does? He starts letting you move back into that relationship. He starts gathering you from wherever you're at. He starts bringing you back. The children of Israel have been scattered all over. He starts bringing them back home. He'll start bringing you back in. No, not me. You don't know what I've done. Yeah, God does, and He's forgiven it all at Calvary. There's not one thing that He left undone at Calvary. There's not one sin at Calvary that Jesus didn't die for. Not one. Not one. You say, well, there's something's too bad. Nothing's too bad. If there was something too bad for God not to forgive, He would have took us all there to sin. That's where the devil would have took every one of us. Amen. My sin is just as bad as yours. And God's blood covers it. It's like He'll cover yours. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Jesus is the only Savior. He's the only way to heaven. He is the door. There is no other door to heaven. So don't try to get any other way. And don't try to get in some way that you've come up with. Verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. You know what he was saying? Here, I'm preaching to twofold ministry right here. I'm preaching to people that are lost or backslidden and need to repent. And I'm preaching right here to the persons who desire to do something great for God. He said, I'm a cupbearer. What is he? He tasted the wine and the food for the king before he ate it because he didn't want to be poisoned. Okay? He was living a pretty good life even though he was in captivity. You know what he was saying? God, I've got a burden for my people and I want to step out on faith and I want to go do something for you. I don't want to stay comfortable for where I'm at. This will be a good prayer for some of y'all who are desiring to do something great for God. God, give me favor with this man that I'm working for that I might go do what's on my heart more than what's keeping me alive. I don't know if we'll have many people pray that today. I don't even know. But I wish some of you would say, God, I'm tired of being comfortable. I'm tired of doing what's easy for me to do. God, take me out of my comfort zone and open up doors that no man can open, but only You can open. And God, will You close some doors that only You can close? Don't pray that last prayer unless you're serious. Don't pray that last prayer unless you're serious. I'm serious. Scott, come on, go ahead and get us on. Don't pray that last prayer unless you're serious. You know what will happen if you're not serious about that last prayer? God opens some doors. We love it when a door flings open. Oh, God, I'm going to run over into that new position, that new job, that new title, that new ministry. Oh, yes, 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 yes. But we don't like it when the door slings shut behind us, do we? Because if you're not serious about that, you know what you're going to spend most of your time doing? Hanging on to the door handle, the door that closed, sitting there jiggling it, saying, God, let me back in! Let me back in that place where I was comfortable. I didn't mean I wanted to go all the way. I didn't want to step all the way out here. Now listen, if you're serious and you want to do something with God, something serious, say, God, open a door. But close all the doors that I'm comfortable in where I'll have to rely totally on You and do what You would have me to do. I want to go back one moment before I close this service. This is a call to ministry. I wish some people in this church would get upset about other people's condition to the point where you start a ministry or get involved in one. Number two, the biggest part of this message too is repentance. If you've got sin in your life and you've got something between you and God, if you're lost, you need to repent and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. But if you're a Christian and you've let some things build back up in your life and you feel like you're not in the right relationship or right standing with God, it's this simple. It's hard to get up. It's hard to come. But it's very simple prayer, and it's very greatly effective. God, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. I don't need to be resaved, but I do need to be washed. And I do need to get back in right relationship with You where I can serve You rightly. Let's all stand as we play a song of invitation. If God's dealt with your heart on either level, please come.